Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Joe.
And I'm Ryan.
Today, Ryan and I take down movie marketing in general, because it kind of sucks. Going to talk about why it sucks, but also we're going to share some positive anecdotes of times we think it's worked, and us couple amateurs are going to give our unsolicited opinions on what we think it could do better as moviegoers. What would entice us more? So, we could probably skip past our medium shot. Nothing to really do there. Get right into our close-up. And talk a bit about, well, if there is a problem here, we have to establish this old status quo first. So, talking about classic strategies, movies used to market themselves to people. The classic thing, the most commonly known movie marketing tactic is the trailer. Obviously.
What's that?
Well, it's basically a montage of scenes from the movie cut together in a way to make the movie look interesting without, ideally, spoiling everything.
Joe, I was joking. I know what a movie trailer is.
I know. I'm just trying to see if I could give a definition on the spot. I like to challenge myself.
It's not like every YouTube video is a trailer breakdown nowadays.
That's true.
Favorite creator.
And in the olden days, they used to have a guy who would narrate it. In a world where something happens, who will live? Who will die? Go to the movies. The movie.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Yep. Where tomorrow is today.
Whoa. Tomorrow's today, but what is yesterday? Oh my God.
Yesterday is just yesterday.
Oh.
They didn't go that deep on it.
Nah. But,
yeah, trailers are the main thing we see, and traditionally, you mostly see them in the movie theater. As previews before other movies. And then, for a very long time, you'd see them on television as well, during commercial breaks. And more recently, you see them online, you see them on YouTube channels. So the function of the trailers basically stayed the same throughout, just where it's presented has changed mostly. And there's also film posters have basically been around from the start. Once again, this is mostly something you'd see in the movie theater, but film posters also extend to, well, I mean, just based on my experience, I remember York had those giant poster sales in the in Berry Hall, where the entire building was just, the floor was covered with posters, and we just wander around ordering and buying movie posters. So posters are also useful for that way, although that's more of a back end thing. Personally, I feel like things have to become more iconic for you to want it at that point, but posters do still market the movie. You might still wander around one of those shows and see a movie 40 years old and be like, well, that stands out to me. What's that all about?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, with posters, not to cut you off with, like, the whole history of it, but I just feel like posters have become, like, less, I don't know if the word is iconic or just, I think, less dependent upon, because they are is just a bunch of floating heads. Like, they just do the Star Wars prequels. Like, everybody's heads, who's in the movie, is on the poster, and then that's, like, the main marketing. There's not that many of, like, just variety of it, I guess. So whenever someone sees a poster, like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so. And we'll definitely get into why posters have deteriorated a little bit more. But just to keep going with classic strategies, interviews with talent and crew are another. Once again, the medium has changed. It used to be late night TV interviews, were the main way that happened. You get actors or directors on, and a well-reasoned interviewer would ask good questions about the movie, and you'd get a genuine discussion about craft. Whereas nowadays, not as much. The questions are a lot more shallow, and trying to put the celebrities more in a gamified environment.
Yeah, and they're more about like the personal, like more like personal questions now, more than like about the movie.
Yeah, really more personal questions, and then it's usually at the very end of the interview. Oh, and go check out so and so's movie, new movie in theaters. It's not the point of it. Used to be the point of the interviews. In the last 20 years, it's old enough to be considered a classic strategy now, but making movie websites as well, where you can find information on all the movie in one place for the internet age. But let's start breaking some of these down now, because most of these suck now, where once they were good. So, well, let's get into the posters, because you already talked about that a bit. I think Floating Heads was interesting back when stuff like The Phantom Menace did it, because, okay, there was an actual artist who did artistic renderings of all these heads. There was some actual artistry. Now it's just Photoshop. Mostly.
Yeah.
It's Photoshop or the CGI elements of the blockbusters in the movie. And it's just boring. It's just showing characters, saying names, and you get a title. And they all look the same. There's no originality or artistry anymore. You look at posters 90 years ago, they were doing some really cool things at the time. Some of those classic 1930s posters are still iconic. I think I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head right now. They're not coming to me. not from the 30s and 40s anyway.
Yeah. Like an iconic one I can think of. It's from the 70s. I want to say is like The Exorcist.
The Exorcist is pretty iconic.
It's just The Window. That's an iconic one. Jaws.
Jaws.
That's some artistry as well.
Going back older, Vertigo was one that came to mind.
Any Spielberg movie.
Yeah, any Spielberg movie had a good poster to it. A New Hope is a classic one as well. He's got the laser sword pointed to the sky.
You got the, I don't know if you see Return of the Jedi right there.
Yeah.
Not there. With my Red Hood helmet, but that's not, that's neither here nor there. Self-made, by the way.
Halloween has a really good one. The knife over the pumpkin.
Yes. Halloween's a good one.
Pulp Fiction's a classic. It's more
Pulp Fiction.
It's a bit more modern, but everyone had that in their dorm rooms in the '90s. That was a thing.
Was Back to the Future poster? That was kind of artistry as well, but like,
oh for sure, yeah. Back to the Future. He's got 1 foot out the DeLorean checking his watch.
Yeah,
that's iconic too. I got that poster. There's a lot of great posters over the years, but they're all
2001.
2001 A Space Odyssey, for sure.
The
astronaut's back is to the, I think it's Hal's back is to the camera, and he's going down a white corridor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Hal's eye might be on it. I don't remember.
I think he's silhouetted by it or something. I don't know. There's like 20 posters of 2001, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. But back then they used to have more ubiquitous, like this is the poster. So nowadays you either get floating heads or character posters, which once again is basically just one character on a poster. That's another problem. There isn't a unified, this is the single image that represents this movie. And I'm sure there's many iconic ones we forgot, but
there's only one like modern poster that I can think of that drew my interest because I didn't know anything about it at the time, and it was way before a trailer came out, and that was The Creator.
Oh yeah,
it was a very simple poster. It was just like a farmland, but it was robots, and then it was just like the creator on the title. So that looked interesting. But then the rest of it, yeah, again, was floating heads. And I haven't seen it yet, but you have said it's not that appealing. But
it's a great looking movie. It's one of the best looking movies I've seen in a very long time. And it's got cool sci-fi concepts, but it's not that good. And 3, 2, 1, more tech failures. Where were we? Marketing sucks now. Posters are uninspired and bad. And trailers. Let's rant about trailers for a little bit. They spoil everything.
Yep. They spoil a lot.
Trailers just used to be, once again, they just used to be the inner world. It was just set up. Some clips from the movie and a narrator told you roughly what it was about. And then this trend came about where trailers effectively became mini movies on their own. They used the dialogue and scenes from the movie to tell a 2-minute story, which hopefully represents the movie in question. But to do that, people who cut trailers tend to use the best parts of the movie, which I understand from a marketing perspective. If you want to get people hyped to see your movie, you put in the parts that made you hyped as the guy cutting the trailer together. That said, it sets people's expectations wrong or doesn't leave much else in a lot of cases. Or just flat out tells you the entire story in a 2-minute condensed version, which is the absolute worst case scenario for a trailer.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I think a reason for that is a lot of the time, at least with, I think, smaller productions, not like the big ones, the main crew of the film or like the director and producer aren't in control of the marketing department at the same time. Sure, they'll give notes to the marketing department what not to put in there. But I think a lot of the time, especially with like maybe some smaller comedies, whatnot, marketing department just has free reign. I remember Jonah Hill talking about in an interview for, I think it was 22 Jump Street, they threw in a joke for like everywhere in the marketing. And it's one of like the big jokes of the piece. And he was just kind of like, well, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, you took, you just gave away the biggest joke in the entire movie. So, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with there's not a lot of conversations going between departments. But a lot of the time, it's just kind of like, they do just give away a lot. Like, I think in Doom Part 2, they didn't give away too much, but I think it was almost a 3-minute trailer.
Yeah.
It was a really long trailer.
Well, I remember when that trailer came out and Justin, who's read all the Dune books, was like, why do they show him sand riding in the trailer? That's a big moment in the book.
Yeah, it's literally like the biggest moment almost besides the ending in that book. It's kind of crazy. But hey, yeah. You got to get butts in seats, I guess. You got to show spectacle. But I don't know, even then, some like spectacle movies or spectacle marketing, and it's not really a spectacle movie, then it's just kind of a lie.
Well, see, that's what I was saying, though, right? Is old trailers used to be able to show that spectacle, but they didn't cut it in a way that, like, you had no context back then because the narrator was just telling you about the movie. So these out-of-context clips didn't matter where you pulled them from in the movie. Sure, it looked cool, but now we're getting plot details from these trailers, too. You can get a gist just by hearing the dialogue in the trailer, whereabouts it probably is from in the movie. Like, well, okay, they're talking about expositional setup stuff. This is probably a first act thing. And they're talking of, you killed my father, prepare to die. Oh, that's a third act shot. Okay. This is right in the climax. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can tell.
Yeah. There was a while, I think for a few years, and I think it was right after BVS, where I just stopped watching trailers because of how much they gave away. Especially with BVS. and why it's the most BBS controversial.
Yeah.
Controversial trailer of all time.
It was a tipping point. But
they
me.
Would just give away either the biggest joke, the biggest action scene, and sometimes just the plot twist. Like it just didn't make sense.
Terminator Genesis did that.
Yeah, like what are we doing? And I think also Terminator Salvation did the same thing. Mm.
I haven't seen that trailer, but I know the Genesis one spoiled the John Connor twist. I'm like, why? Why did you do that?
I think Passengers did it too, but I think that's different. On a I'm a defender of the Passengers movie, but it's not really that big of a movie for people to to defend. But if they reworked the story, it could have been amazing. Anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence, stuck in space. Not in space, stuck in a spaceship full of people in space. And if they reworked it for her perspective, it could have been an amazing thriller. But whatever.
Yeah.
Still a good movie. Visually good. Yeah, but we brought it up, so we might as well talk about it. They just showed Doomsday in in the Batman v Superman trailer.
Not just Doomsday, but the whole Trinity getting together.
Yeah.
They show Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman standing side by side in a movie called Batman v Superman. Now, I know going into it, people just tend to assume they're going to make up their differences and team up. But did you have to put it in the trailer for the big Doomsday fight? I'm like, okay, so you're just telling us that's not even the ending.
Yeah.
The Batman and then v also Superman fight.
And then you're like, oh, there's Doomsday. But then you tweet about, oh, that's not Doomsday. Doomsday's somewhere else. But then in the movie, he calls him Doomsday. He looks like Doomsday. He acts like Doomsday. Kills Superman. So is it Doomsday? So it's just kind of like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the one for a while. I was like, you just gave the whole movie away.
Yeah. See, the funny thing is the trailer actually started pretty well. The one when they're meeting Lex Luthor and, oh, wow, Clark Kent meets Bruce Wayne. Cool. And Lex Luthor's in the middle.
Want to pick a fight with this guy.
Yeah, it's a cool start. And then they just kept going and going and going and going until we're at Doomsday.
They just kept talking.
They showed basically they showed the whole gist of the movie. They're like, okay, they explained the whole conflict, showed clips of the fight, showed the Doomsday bit. I'm like, I've seen this whole movie already. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's why I didn't go and see it. I waited till it was on a torrented site. Sorry, everybody. I used to torrent stuff.
And even with stuff like that, I hope to God that the things they put in the trailer, sometimes I have faith that they're showing all these things in the trailer and there's still more that I haven't seen. Like, well, if they wanted to put all this in the trailer, think of what they left out. Sometimes I've been okay by that. There's been a couple times, I think, where, okay, they didn't show as much as I thought they did. But most times they do, and I'm disappointed.
I mean, they completely cut out the other two Spider-Man and No Way Home in that one shot.
Yeah, that's true.
So, there you go. But you could even say they gave away that whole movie at the same time, but it's weird. Yeah, a lot of superhero movies give away the plot quite a bit. It's kind of a weird trend. They all follow the same formula.
Yeah,
marketing.
I don't understand. And trailers, I'm also not a fan of trailers using lines, because like lines and jokes, because it also breaks my immersion in a movie.
Yeah,
I don't know if you do this, but when I watch a movie,
that was in the trailer.
And I've seen a trailer a million times. Oh, that's the line from the trailer. That's the line from the trailer. And then things are happening. And this is when I usually realize I got spoiled, is when a movie's happening and it's near the end. And I'm like, but I still haven't seen that scene I saw from the trailer. Oh, man, that was the ending.
Yeah, that was me with Force Awakens when they were like, oh, Poe Dameron's dead. It's like, but he was in an X-Wing in the trailer. Wait a second. He's not actually dead. And then they don't explain how he survived. They don't really explain how he's alive. But yeah. I have the like exact same, like in Guardians 2 with the whole like rocket and like don't push the button scene.
Don't push
that
the
button. That was all in the trailer. And that's, I remember I was sitting with my buddy Taylor, and he was like, when's that scene coming up? And it just, then the scene just happened. So that was a really funny moment. But yeah, it's just like they give away like whole scenes sometimes, and you don't need to do that. Just, you know, just just be a little creative. It is weird though, on like an opposite spectrum, where they'll add trailer lines that aren't in the movie at all. That's weird. That's happened a few times.
I don't know if they do that to misdirect people or if they just cut that out at a later time.
That's my assumption with it for most of them, where it's like if it's a line that sounds really cool for like the trailer, but then when you watch it fully, it doesn't, maybe they don't like it later on and they take it out. So that's why I think it happens most of the time, because the marketing happens when they're marketing the movie, they're still working on it. I think that's a lot. That's another thing people forget about the film business as well. Like they're still working on it like a week up to the release date.
Yep.
A big one that I remember is, I think it's called Don't Breathe. It was a horror movie. It's about these like robbers going into this blind guy's house, but he was ex-military, so he ends up, you know, hunting them as well. Yeah. And he shuts off the lights, and in the trailer he goes, "Now you see what I see." Brilliant line for the trailer. It's not in the movie at all. So just kind of one of those things was like, oh, it sounded really cool in the trailer. Can't wait to hear it in the movie. And it just doesn't happen. So you're just kind of like, well, darn. And that breaks my immersion too, because you're waiting for that line that you liked, that you heard in the trailer, and then it just doesn't happen. So you're just like, oh, man.
Yeah, but I feel like we're the odd men out that way. I feel like, generally speaking, people just know I've seen the trailer and it probably spoiled everything, so I'm not going to go see it now.
Yeah.
We're describing the experience of guys who saw the trailer, went, and had our immersion broken, but I think most people just don't bother if they feel like they've been spoiled or got the entire idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's counterintuitive that way. You're like, people who see the trailers and it's like, well, I basically just saw the movie, so okay. And if I enjoy what I saw, I'll watch the trailer again. I'm not seeing the movie though.
Until that's exactly what I felt with BVS. I honestly can't think of like a trailer that's really like affected me, besides like the Man of Steel trailer, like the very first one with that Hans Zimmer
Man
score.
Of Steel trailer was great. If we're talking about then, good trailers, Man of Steel is a perfect one because like I remember I showed that to somebody and like hid the title from them. I just wanted to see what they were like if they didn't see Man of Steel trailer on the side. I just loved the bit when you know, Jor-El's doing the voiceover on it. You see Kal-El with the, like, he's got his hands on his hips in the red cape, like as a child. There's just kind of this random imagery. You just see like Henry Cavill on a fishing vessel, hitchhiking, whatever. It looks like, what is this movie? It just looks like a guy wandering. Yeah. And there's some vaguely Superman poses in there. And then the last shot of him just rocketing up to the sky with the logo, like perfect teaser.
Yeah, that's kind of what I miss too, and is kind of a accidental slip up of the internet, is now that every trailer is posted on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the title's right there. What I miss is just going to the trailer and watching the trailer for the first time, not knowing what it is. And then if it's a sequel, you're like, oh, this is a sequel to Spider-Man or whatever, and just being so hyped for it. But now it's just like, here's the new trailer for Deadpool 3. And it just kind of, you're just kind of like, oh, like the hype is still there for it, but it's not as big as like you're seeing it for the first time without any warning or whatever.
Definitely. Like the best way to experience trailers is still in the movie theater when you don't know what's going to play. Oh, wait, what's this? Oh, whoa, they're doing this? And I've definitely had that experience, but I don't remember what now. It may have even been Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember seeing the Force Awakens trailer in movie theaters, not for the first time, obviously, but people were pretty hyped afterwards.
The first two Force Awakens trailers are also two of my all-time favorite marketing tactics. That very first one in particular, do you remember? It was just like four shots. I think it was like Finn super out of breath, pops up out of camera. I think there was BB-8 just kind of scurrying along some sand. Kylo Ren whips out his cross guard lightsaber, and then I think the Millennium Falcon does some aerial acrobatics, and that was it. And that's like, oh, this is the first new Star Wars in 10 years, and this is all we're seeing. That's great. And then the second trailer showed a little bit more cool stuff, and then it ended with the Chewie, we're home, and everyone lost their damn minds.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
That was you peak nostalgia, right?
We're talking about trailers, and the Joker Full of Dude teaser trailer just came out like an hour ago as we're recording.
Yeah, I just watched it before we hit play here.
Damn,
it's good.
All right, I could do a live reaction, but that'd be stupid.
Actually, I think the Force Awakens trailer, that was the one that started off with the Luke Skywalker narration too. I'm pretty sure that's the one that started off with the crashed X-wing and Star Destroyer in the desert. And redid Luke's monologue from Return of the Jedi. The Force is strong in my family. I have it. My father has it. You have the... I don't remember exactly, but
Which makes more sense that she was a Skywalker from the beginning. But anyway.
Yeah, see, that was brilliant too, because it was teasing... It was teasing possibilities. I love the imagery of the Star Destroyer crashed into the desert sands. There was a lot of cool imagery in there, and then you ended off with Han and Chewie. The whole thing was like, okay, we're teasing really interesting things, we're showing some really cool imagery, and we hit you with a gut punch of nostalgia right at the end. And that, to me, that's a perfect trailer. It did exactly what marketing is supposed to do. It got me emotional in like three different ways.
I think all trailers should be teaser trailers.
Yep.
There, I said it. I don't like 2.5 minute trailers. A lot of them are the same now anyway. A lot of them have, for some reason, a guy crying in the rain, screaming at the sky, even though this may or may not be in the movie. But, you know, I personally prefer teaser trailers over main trailers because... Again, it gives you just enough to get interested in what you're about to see. Perfect example is Man of Steel and Force Awakens. And not that all main trailers are bad, but I just feel like they give away a lot of the lines, a lot of the plot, a lot of character motivations. That's why I was really scared going to Doom Part 2, but they did save like the two big scenes that were out of the trailer. Like Paul saying silence, or him doing his speech to all the Fremen. I just think teasers are not talked about enough, because they get overshadowed by the main stuff. Like with Deadpool 3, don't show me anything else. I don't want to see anything else, because I know the next trailer they're just gonna tell you all the jokes, or most of the jokes. I feel like it's just going to diminish it. I don't want to see Hugh Jackman until I'm in the theater.
Deadpool is another franchise I think has had perfect marketing from Deadpool 1 all the way through. I don't think I've ever seen a more perfectly marketed franchise than the Deadpool ones. Because Deadpool 2 is the one I think of most often, and I'm not going to spoil it like exactly how it happens, but the thing, like, this is an example of marketing done right because of intentional misdirection. All of Deadpool 2's marketing hyped up X-Force as like he's teaming up with X-Force to do this badass mission, and it's going to be the coolest thing ever, and like that's what the trailers made it seem like the movie was about. So then the movie starts, X-Force isn't in it. I'm like, where's X-Force? They're like the biggest part of the trailer. So like, isn't that what the whole movie's about? And then X-Force shows up halfway through the movie and they're done in one scene. And that was it. And like,
very funny.
And like, I can't remember if I've ever laughed in a theater that hard before or since, because because in my mind, all the marketing said X-Force was going to be important. And then they very much were not. And that joke landed so much harder than if I had not seen any trailers.
Yeah, that's a good way to defy expectations, where people just kind of accept it because it's used in a comedic way. I've heard some people, I'm bringing up Dune a lot, some people, like when they talked about Dune Part 1, a lot of the marketing was around Zendaya because she is such a big name for younger audiences as well. She's in the movie for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and they kind of do the same thing in the second movie. With Florence Pugh. She was in quite a bit of the marketing as well, but she's also in it for not that much. But Denis Villeneuve has stated that he did that on purpose, that Zendaya was very much a teaser in part one and that she was for quite sure. a focal point in part two. Kind of the same with Florence Pugh's character, where she's kind of a teaser character, and she'll be very heavily in the third one, if they do a third one. They will do a third one.
That's interesting how they did that. I just want to skip back to Deadpool for a sec, because I want to talk about the Deadpool 3 marketing. Another brilliant piece of marketing was Ryan Reynolds' announcement trailer for Deadpool 3.
Yes.
Where he just says, well, yeah, I'm finally working on Deadpool 3, and I got nothing. And he's just kind of puttering around trying to think of good ideas in the Deadpool suit. He's like, well, okay, I got one thing. Hugh, What do you think of coming back? And you see Hugh Jackman walking casually in the back room. Yeah, sure, Ryan.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of winks to the camera. That's a perfect teaser. Didn't need to see any plot details or anything. It's just like Hugh Jackman nonchalantly confirms his return as Wolverine, paying off what the first two movies had been teasing for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Deadpool desperately wants to team up with Wolverine.
Even the first movie, the first Deadpool, it came out around Valentine's Day, so they marketed
it as a Valentine's movie.
Yeah, they marketed it as a Valentine's movie where it's just Ryan Reynolds and the lead actress for Vanessa, just kind of in like that cheesy romantic Valentine's Day poster thing. Is very funny, and they even did because they used to do, and like in their group chat, like an emoji of like Deadpool, and there was like a shit emoji in it. And then like, hey, can we use this as a poster? And Ryan Reynolds was like, you don't have the balls to put it on a poster. And they put it on a billboard. It's very funny. The marketing team did a very good job. They've always done a
and
good
also
job
Ryan
Deadpool.
Reynolds showing up as Deadpool in costume to every late night interview and like random YouTube videos. He was everywhere as that character because he clearly loved playing it. He was great at it. And he got everyone to love Deadpool before they saw the movies. So you just kind of love him as a cultural personality before you even watch. Like, expert marketing in those three movies.
Expert. And the leaked scene that got the whole Deadpool train going. So.
That's true.
I don't think it was leaked. I think they put it out there on purpose.
Yeah, that's, so the good marketing was built in right from the very beginning. Good marketing is what got it made.
Mm-hmm. Word of mouth and all that.
Yeah. Because of a quote-unquote leak.
I'm kind of bullshitting. I don't know if that, to be honest, but I think Ryan Reynolds has even played into the joke. He's a very joking guy, where he's just like, oh yeah, we leaked it. Or like, it got leaked. Like, we didn't put it on the internet on purpose because they scrapped the project, but we still made this entire scene.
Somebody put it out there.
Someone did. And it worked. Now it's about to be a trilogy.
Yeah. In terms of movies that have had good marketing lately, this one was kind of unintentional, but the Barbenheimer hype is some of the biggest hype I've seen in a long time. And that was more of a fan-created marketing train, which is pretty weird in movie history. I can't think of many scenarios where the fans have done that much marketing for the two movies. I feel like Barbenheimer was wild. Marketed more than Barbie or Oppenheimer separate.
Yeah, I agree. it's kind of wild to see that happen. Marketing will just happen naturally because I think because too, especially nowadays, or maybe because we're just older, I don't see a lot of like merchandise marketing as much as it was in like the 90s or the 2000s, toy commercials and all that. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's a big drawback for a lot of these movies, but also I'm not a kid anymore. I don't watch cable to see if they're making toys for, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mayhem, which they probably are. But yeah, I just feel like that was a huge, that's a huge thing too, is the merchandise as well. I mean, I think the last big thing I can remember is all of the, like, Force Friday stuff with each new Star Wars movie coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, huge thing was the marketing, like, oh, have, you know, Kylo's lightsaber, sweep it right off the shelves.
You know what?
Even recently, last year, was the Dune popcorn bucket. Everybody went insane. People were like, you can't eat popcorn out of that, but you're talking about it. It's weird. It's going to make you want the bucket because it's weird as fucking try it out. And how are you going to go see the movie with the popcorn bucket?
You know what I realized about toys? I had an epiphany the other day about toy merchandising, actually. Yeah. I don't think toy merchandising is for children anymore. It's for adults.
Nope. Because it was very much, like, marketed, like, it was very huge between the 80s and the...
Our childhood,
between, too. Like, the 80s, 90s, and our childhood, like, the aughts as well. Yeah. Then now, so it's more, like, digital shit, I guess. Well, like, you know, like, play this mobile game of this...
I was talking to Justin the other day, and I'm like, when's the last time you were at Walmart and you walked down the toy aisle? It's always dead. I'm like, I see more adults down those aisles than I do kids. Toys nowadays, when people say the toy sales are what make the money, it's adults buying, like, Funko Pops and Black Series action figures. It's not...
Yeah. Or overpriced Lego sets nowadays. They used to be, like, $50, and now they're $350.
Which, again, are for adults. They don't, like... Yeah, they have children's Lego sets, but more adults make Lego than children do now. In my own life and in my experience, I buy more Legos than I see children make. Like, toys are not for kids anymore. When people say the toy sales are what matter, we're the demographic they're targeting. Like you're saying,
I hate to call myself out here, but this is just a couple of the Funko Pops I have.
Yeah, right. Like, you're talking about toys for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mayhem. I think more adults are probably buying those toys than kids probably are playing with TMNT action figures now.
Yeah, because I don't think they care about physical shit anymore. I think kids are more so on, like, iPads now, or which is such, like, a millennial Gen Z thing for me to say, but I think it's true. It's a lot of digital now. It's not... I don't know. It's kind of sad. I used to play with so many toys as a kid and get hurt with a lightsaber against my brother, and that was character
whacked in the
building.
Fingers. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Always getting whacked in the film.
Yeah. I always hit my brother in the fingers too. Yeah.
That's the, you gotta disarm him. I don't know.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, toys are physical toys aren't for kids. I mean, adults just consider, oh, it's collectibles. Sure, call it what you want. The studios say toy sales. We say it's collectibles. Same difference.
Capitalism, yeah. Baby. I don't know.
Although, speaking of Barbenheimer, I think Barbie did have a pretty good marketing campaign on its own.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Because I still remember the trailer, and I remember laughing when I saw it, because the tagline was something like, if you love Barbie, come see this movie. If you hate Barbie, come see this movie.
Yeah, that's a good tagline.
Or, sorry, if you love Barbie, this movie's for you. If you hate Barbie, this movie's for you.
Yes. Well, even then, their first trailer was an homage to 2001.
Appealing
was the
to
opening
everybody.
To 2001.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. The marketing also had the allusion to 2001 for sure. Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh, so they're funny. Trying to make Barbie cinema. not just a shallow Barbie movie like you might expect.
It's such a funny joke on so many levels.
Whoever did the marketing for that was pretty clever.
Yeah, I don't think people understand how funny that is.
And we're back, even more through even more tech failures. One of those nights.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about how some marketing is good. And, yeah, it's... But the bad ones, I think, the bad marketing turns people away from movies more than anything. And I feel like it's a cyclical sort of deal because most people see a bad trailer and they don't go to the trailer. They don't like the trailer. They don't go to the movies. And if they don't go to the movies, they don't really see other trailers. And if they don't see other trailers, they don't know what else is coming out to go see. Because that's the thing, right? I think people don't see trailers as much as they used to. I think the biggest way people used to see trailers was on TV during commercial breaks.
Yes.
I remember that's how most of my childhood movies, that's how I got interested in them, seeing the same TV spots over and over and over again. And on streaming... Some of the streaming services I have with ads, they show some trailers for crappy TV shows on that streaming service.
It's all cable, like CTV crap. It's not like for the big stuff anymore.
Yeah. They show the worst shows on the streaming service. And actual movie trailers, you either have to see in theaters or... find them on your recommended in YouTube. And on YouTube, I feel like you're less likely to get engaged with a trailer on YouTube because in my personal experience, it's not often I click on a trailer I wasn't already anticipating. Oh, new Dune movie's coming out. Cool, I'm already interested in that. I want to see a tease for part two. Something like, I just saw Monkey Man the other day. I never watched a trailer for it. Even if it came up in my recommended, I don't know if I would have bothered clicking on that. I would have been interested if I'd seen it in theaters as an advertisement, but I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go see it. I just happened to go see this movie, but I never saw marketing for it because I wouldn't have clicked on it even if it just came up. Because I wasn't like, okay, it's a random movie. Why am I wasting my time looking at a trailer for something I don't have any attachment to? But if it's just thrown in your face at a theater or on a TV spot and you're just bombarded enough times until you're interested, well, then you'll go see it. That's how it used to work. But now I notice a worrying trend where basically everybody in my life doesn't know what's coming out. I'm the movie guy. I'm the guy who everyone relies on to tell them what's coming out. And I don't even know what's coming out or when. Sometimes I have a vague idea. Like, just for example, I'm actually excited about the Fallout show, which is releasing tomorrow as of our recording of this episode. And I didn't even know till today that it was coming out tomorrow. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I knew it was coming out within the next few months. But I'm like, oh crap, it's tomorrow? Oh man, now I gotta book out a lot of time to watch this thing. And once again, that was a show I was actually looking forward to. So can you even imagine the people who haven't heard about Fallout at all, who don't even know what it is, how are you gonna sell people who weren't looking for it? I don't think anyone in my sphere knows it's a thing.
Well, it sucks too, because like the older generation, their main source of marketing or trailers is from just going to the movie theater, but they don't really do that a lot now just because it's not popping up a lot on their televisions, or it is sometimes just only for the big brands. But I find myself watching a lot of trailers like on Instagram Reels, or you like trying to look for like a full screen version on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's really limiting for people who don't have like those accounts or aren't who aren't like me and on the internet most of the time, just looking for movie news or movie trailers, marketing, and see, oh, that poster looks cool as a Instagram photo. But they don't, it's not like mass produced everywhere like it used to. It's not on the sides of buses. It's not on billboards anymore. I mean, it is sometimes, but not as much as it used to be. Like everything, sure. All the marketing now is just digital. And that's very limiting to most of your audience who aren't on social media.
Every so often I'll see a poster for something in a TTC station.
Yeah, but even then it's like, rare. Okay, what is that?
Exactly. It's so rare. And then, like, I think the last one I saw was Wonka in a station. Like, oh, that's funny. Okay. Sure. But it's, yeah, they're limiting their reach now, basically just to people with social media. And the thing is, the people who do still, like you said, older people do still see those TV spots because people in our generation don't really have live TV anymore. We do streaming, which is as we already discussed, doesn't show these things so much. But older people who do have traditional TV, the movies they're marketing aren't appealing to them. They're marketing the latest Marvel movie, which in my experience, anybody who's like over their mid-40s doesn't care about Marvel anymore. Maybe they were interested at one point, but they don't really care about the superhero stuff or horror movies or whatever is constantly pumped out at theaters nowadays, which is mostly superhero movies and horror. Like, yeah, it's funny because even on the marketing that works, they're not tailoring it to the proper audience. Like, you're not tailoring TV, traditional TV marketing to a crowd that, oh, let's go see, I can't even think of any examples, but just something they'd prefer more.
Yeah, it's like, you're not, it's wild, you're not, because like,
yeah,
because you're trying to appeal. Okay, so here's an example, like the new X-Men show, which, yeah, I haven't checked out yet. That mark is for people like grew up in the 90s and or like early 80s. I don't even remember, right? 90s, 80s, 90s. Yeah. And so that's very tailored to those type of people. And a lot of them are probably in their 30s to late 30s or in 40s. Yeah. And it's like, okay, where do I see this? Where do I see this? Oh, it's on a streaming platform. Okay. Where do I like even see a trailer? On more streaming platforms or more social media. Like, it's not, I doubt there's a TV spot for it. And I doubt, like, the only thing people use TV for now, I will say this with confidence, is for sporting events. That's the only thing I think, like, the older generation uses it for, is sporting events and news. Like, they're not watching,
yeah,
a lot of, like, big television stuff being dropped on cable, because that's already on streaming service. If you have a TV provider, here's an example. If you have a TV provider, say Bell, yeah, that comes with HBO, you just have a free login for Crave. That's just your login for Crave. So you, yeah, might as well just stream it off of Crave, which is HBO in Canada, blah, blah, blah. So it's just like, and they don't really tell you really where to watch it sometimes. It'll just be like Disney Plus. All right, what is Disney Plus? Oh, it's just another thing I have to pay $9 a month for. Eh, I might not see that. So it's just a lot of like, it used to be market something for television. You already have the television program. It comes out here or so. Or they gave you an entire book for it when something was being released. TV Guide. Yeah. But now it's just like every big name television thing is on a different streaming service, or it's not really on cable. And it's just kind of,
yeah,
it's hard to keep track of, especially for people who aren't used to that.
I think what you're saying there is really the big difference is marketing now, you basically have to go looking for it.
Yes.
Whereas it used to be marketing just was something you happened across in your daily life. You couldn't avoid it. And eventually it just, seeped into your brain until you're like, okay, I should give this a shot at least.
Yeah.
Or I know I'm not interested. I'm so sick of this thing constantly being shoved in my face, but you know about it. At least. I don't know about anything anymore.
Yeah, it's. I also find a lot of the time where it's like, hey, did you see that trailer? I was like, no, I didn't. What's the trailer? Oh, it's here. Let me just pop it up on my phone. And just right, like that instant of it is just kind of like, I feel like because you can access trailers more instantly now, this might be a hot take. There's not much effort being put into them, which is a weird thing. Like there's not much artistry, right. I should say, that is being thrown into the trailers. It's just like, what can we show that doesn't give away a lot of the story, but is like the big shots of the thing most of the time. But also like the instantaneous like gratification, like the word of mouth of it is not, I feel like, isn't as strong, where it's like if you're at the water cooler in the office, like, did you catch the trailer last night before, you know, the big game? Like, no, I didn't. Oh, let me describe it to you. It's this, it's awesome. Like word of mouth is very, it's so important for like just everything, because it's someone you trust explain something to you that they find interesting. So like, oh, that does sound interesting. But now it's just like, hey, have you seen that trailer? Here it is. And then you form your own opinion on it.
Well, see, the thing about trailers, it's, well, when you bring that up, it reminds me that there's even more work for trailers now for guys like you and me, because to the people who haven't seen the trailers and we're showing them, there's like four or five trailers for things, which all get more spoilery as they go. So guys like you and me are a little more in the know with what people are saying about things, or like, oh, no, wait, I want to show you the trailer, but I got to show you like trailer number 2 of 4 is the one you got to watch. That's the one that tells you enough about the plot without ruining it.
Yeah.
So even if you do happen upon a trailer, which one are you going to happen upon? Do you know which one is the right one? Like, there's a whole, like, hidden code you gotta learn for movie trailers nowadays. It's not just watch a trailer and are you interested? It's, okay, but this is, like, trailer number 1's the least spoilery, so that's the one I gotta watch. Try to avoid the rest of the marketing from here on out, because I know it's just gonna get more spoilery as it goes. There's, like, a... There's... rules to follow now.
Yeah. It's so, yeah. It's funny you bring up like 4 trailers or whatever, because it's, I remember getting pretty upset when, what was it? I think it was like, it was after, oh no, it wasn't a trailer. It wasn't a trailer. It was something they did at the Oscars. Or it was like for The Force Awakens, they were like, best special effects, and it showed Rey holding the lightsaber. Mm. I was like, you can't do that, it's giving away the whole thing. But yeah, I thought for some reason that was in like the 4th trailer, or like the trailer they do after the movie comes out, like 2 weeks or something. They used to do that a lot. But yeah, that's funny. I had a little brain fart there.
So now maybe is a good time to talk about what can marketing do better? Well, first off, I think a big thing is scrap trailer houses altogether and do marketing in-house. Just forget these third-party companies who do marketing for you. Just make a division in-house so that you can the creatives can actually talk to the people doing the marketing and veto certain decisions. Oh, wait, no, that's don't include that line. No, wait, that's way too spoilery. You can't do that. I mean, ideally, they're not getting micromanaged, but just a little oversight for quality control. Just so the people who actually made the thing can say, I don't want that out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. That has to be like the first option for what they do. It's like get rid of, just get rid of those, like, the middleman, because they don't, it's not even just about giving away stuff, it's also just about the artistry of it, too, because you have these filmmakers who spent like months, even years on a project, like pouring over it, and then it just gets chopped up, destroyed, and then spoiled in a lot of trailers.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's why I think the Force Awakens and the Man of Steel trailer stick so much to us, is because there was artistry put behind it, there was mystery, and there was just so much
passion
put into it.
They were trailers for big franchise movies that you didn't have any clue what it was supposed to be, and to, like, they were meant to be kind of intriguing for people not in the know. They weren't playing to a certain audience.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, I think people forget that, or marketing people forget that. And I'm not saying the people who, like, put the trailer together, probably being told from, like, upstairs, like, this is what's working, this is what's getting the clicks. So this is what you need to do. I feel like that needs to be the first thing that has to happen. Next thing that needs to happen, they got to start shoving shit more in your face. Like the way they used to do it years ago. I need to see posters everywhere. I'm talking like on buses, on street corners, on fucking coffee mugs. I need to see it everywhere.
I had a similar idea, but more of a new wave thing. And if they don't want to spend money on physical marketing anymore, I think they need to get more aggressive online. They need to start taking advantage. Like every website you go to, I'll say like Amazon's a good example because they're really like people use that a lot. Pop-up ads are a big thing. Whatever you're kind of looking for, the algorithm suggests things for you. So take advantage of those algorithms. We're already heading for dystopia with that kind of targeted marketing. Just embrace it and use it for movies too. Pop-up ads for movies or on those sites that get video pop-ups. Make a movie trailers. Like if you're gonna, you gotta get in people's faces a little bit more. If you're not gonna put posters up in the subway or on buses or whatever, pay Google Ads or whoever does advertising for all these things to just get them on people's algorithms.
I agree. Because trailers aren't enough, clearly. They haven't been enough for decades. So you have to go back to shoving shit in your face until people find like, okay, what is this thing that they clearly want me to see?
My lived experience is that worked.
Yeah, it worked. It worked for the longest time. Does nobody remember fucking McDonald's toys tie-ins?
Yep.
They were a great time.
Like even McDonald's toys tie-ins now, like you go to McDonald's and they're so lame and uninspired now. They don't really.
Yeah. It's even like just looking at the shit too.
Yeah, even just looking at the display cases, I'm like, "Where's the tie-in stuff for marketing?"
Yeah, I remember. I think I remember even going. Like, you'd always go to McDonald's. Like, do you have this one in? And be like, "Oh, sorry, we don't." Or if you did, it'd be like, "Oh, here's the last one," and you get so hyped for it. It was awesome.
Yeah, you had to get the sets.
Yeah. Crazy. Now they just don't do them anymore.
Here's another one. Stop the trailer. Stop the trailers for trailers or the trailer before a trailer.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, where it does like a super cut of the trailer. Like, here's the trailer in 3, 2. And it's like, can you just show me the trailer? Just show me. Like,
that's a quality of life thing. And it pisses me off. Like, I think I know they're going for people with short attention spans to be like, there's good stuff here. We promise. It'll be in there. Just wait. But it's annoying.
It's so cheesy. It takes all the fucking joy out of it. It's like, you're about to see the new Star Wars Acolyte trailer in 3, 2. And it's showing clips of the trailer as it's talking. It's like,
I'm like, it's a new Star Wars show. You don't have to sell me on this trailer. I clicked on it because I'm interested.
I'm already here. Don't sell me on it.
I this didn't just come up in my algorithm. I clicked on the trailer.
It's like ordering a Subway sandwich, sitting down, and a guy's like, you're about to eat the sandwich in 3, 2. I already bought it. You've already told me I'm going to eat it. Get out of my face.
I understand that. Like, I'm mostly arguing for YouTube here because YouTube is a bit more intentional that way. Bad at it. When it comes to something like TikTok, though, okay, I understand you're trying to grab people when you're just when they're just scrolling through on their phones. But even then, as a stubborn person, I say I don't like it.
Just yeah, me no likey.
And even if you got to do it for TikTok, upload a different version of YouTube. Don't bring that crap yeah. onto YouTube.
Oh, that's too much work. It's too much yeah. work for them, Joe.
Let's see. Stop with the cliches in the marketing. Inception was cool 14 years ago, and they did a in every trailer. Since then, has copied that to death.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just stop.
God, there was like a good 5 years where that's all the trailers was blah.
There's still a lot of trailers today.
Yeah. It was not good.
When they're trying to now sound it's just, exciting.
Now with a lot of nostalgic movies that are getting like a reboot, it's like a voiceover from a familiar line and then the score at the very end.
Yeah.
It's like that's what it is. Or just the score slowed down.
And then there'll be some iconic reveal shot.
Yeah. Indiana Jones has his whip back.
Which I blame on The Force Awakens. I blame on the Chewie yeah. Rome thing. I think that's what started
it
that.
Because it worked, so they want to do it again. It's like what they're doing with like, oh, Endgame made $2 billion off a $200 million budget. Let's throw $200 million at every movie, because that's how it works, right?
Yeah, that's
what
true.
What?
Don't forget the other cliches. Don't forget the, somebody says a snarky, like something really bad happens, and then somebody says a snarky joke line in yeah. response to it.
Well, that just happened. Or,
yeah, something like that. Or the cut to black. Like, okay, something really cool, and then cut to black. And then we see something else.
Yeah. It's now becoming more of a cliche, but when movie trailers call out their own movie cliches, it's now becoming a cliche.
Yeah.
It's like,
which is funny because
call yourself out doesn't mean it's acceptable now.
Which is funny because Deadpool 2 did that before it was cool. I remember yeah. that was a thing in that trailer. That's just lazy writing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the intro to Deadpool 2 is like, they really write this shit?
Yeah.
Or it's like, written by the real heroes or something like that.
Produced by asshats, starring, yeah.
Starring, did they really kill her off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. They did the James Bond intro for...
What the fuck happened?
The whole thing was just disbelief. Yeah, I think when it comes to posters, they need to quit it with floating heads. They need to...
Stop doing floating heads.
Stop doing floating heads. Stop doing just cutouts in general. Go back to actual artists making some rendering of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Posters got away with that for nearly 100 years before it's only in the new digital age where we just do basically Photoshop and it's so boring.
It's so boring. Every poster has a floating head.
Yeah. It's very rare they stand out. And personally, posters are a thing for me now. They're a large... Like, I go out of my way not to watch as many trailers anymore. But when I'm walking down a movie theater hallway, I take a look at the posters. I see what stands out. Hell, even on streaming, when I'm flipping through, I'm interested in the thumbnail image for, like, if I'm kind of, oh, I've maybe heard of that or... The thumbnail image looks interesting. I'm going to click on that and see a description at least. Then sometimes
yeah,
there's a trailer.
The thumbnail is a very underappreciated form of art on YouTube.
Yeah. So thumbnails, posters, step it up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to click on a floating head thumbnail on on Disney Plus, I'm going to click on something that looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
Something stands out.
There was one recently where it was like, that's a cool poster.
It's Shogun that was new, awesome.
Yeah. It's that new Kristen Stewart movie, Love Lies Bleeding. It's got the other actress in it. She's like, she's super jacked. She's in like, I think undergarments, but she's holding a gun at the same time. And it looks really cool, but it's not playing anywhere. And I really want to go see it. I don't know where it is right now.
It is a cool poster. That one stood out for me too.
Yeah. That's a cool poster. Where it's like, what's this about? And even the trailer, A24, it's a good movie, but.
That's why I saw Monkey Man as well. Because I was just flipping through the Cineplex website. And I'm like, what's out? What's this? Sure. Why not? Like I said, I didn't see the trailer for it, but the poster is what sold me, really. So they need to get posters better.
Do better.
Something that'll... I also think... Maybe this one's a controversial idea, but I also think posters need to get maybe a bit more meta with who's... trailers need to get a bit more meta about who's actually watching them. Because YouTube... In general, a lot of the rule of thumb has always been do call to actions, right? They say if you have an audience and videos with, like and subscribe and leave comments and whatever, that's just playing the YouTube game because people seem to respond to that stuff. I think trailers should do the same thing. Gone are the days when... coming soon to theaters is good enough. It's like we've been saying, it's only guys like us who are seeking out these trailers and watching them. So movie theaters need to recognize, not theaters, marketers need to recognize that. Maybe at the end of the trailers, have call to actions. Say, okay, movie fanatics, show your friends the trailer. You guys who actually clicked on this, spread the word.
That's how like the Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity like got so popular. Is because they showed the trailer in the movie theater, and at the very end, they said stuff like, you want to see this movie, go contact your local movie theater to play this movie. And that became a worldwide phenomenon. So it's worked before in the past.
Yeah, they asked people to take action, and if you got them interested with the content they saw before, a lot of them will.
Yeah,
because what you it's worked. Because what you're really lacking is, like I said, like you're even losing guys like us who... watch movies, a lot of other people are completely hopeless. So while you still have our attention, you need to entice us to spread the word.
Yeah, it's just like, just do something. Just do something different. Because clearly it's just not working a lot of the time, besides like the big budget movies. And that's why it makes me so sad, because these smaller movies like Love Lies Bleeding or Monkey Man, for that instance, I don't think a lot of people are talking about. And I think they would be very popular movies if the marketing was there. Not just like one trailer posted on YouTube and they were like, oh, here's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. And those I'm not going to blame too much, just because those are smaller movies, smaller marketing budgets. Okay, they're not going to be everywhere or appeal to everybody. I get it. But in a case of something like Monkey Man, you and I talked a little bit about it, and one of the reasons you didn't go see it is because based on what you've heard about it versus the trailer, there's different movies. The trailer is hyping up a movie that's not what it is. So even for smaller movies like that, people are being turned away because the marketing's misleading. If you did see it, it's not advertising properly. So, big movies have to advertise wider, and smaller movies need to advertise more appropriately. If anyone actually sees your advertising... especially as a smaller movie with less budgets. If anyone sees the advertising, make it count. It's got to represent you better. It's got to be targeted towards the proper people. It can't just be... You can't try to appeal to general audiences and like with just like with Monkey Man, with like a lot of action scenes in the trailer when that's like a quarter of the movie. Great action in the movie, but don't market your movie like an action movie. That's not what it is. It's misleading.
Yeah.
It just pisses people off.
Like me. I don't like when I don't like misleading trailers.
Yeah.
False marketing. Big one comes to mind. Can't believe we went this long without me talking about, but there was trailer put out for Halo 5 Guardians, and it was actually two trailers put out at the same time, and it was from perspectives of both Master Chief and Spartan Locke, and it was the whole marketing was about these two guys hunting each other. Master Chief's on the run or something, Spartan Locke is being hired by Oni or whoever to hunt him down for reasons that happened in the previous game.
Yeah.
And that was the entire marketing. Even when I bought the game at EB Games, they gave you a pin to choose. Do you want a Master Chief pin or a Spartan Locke pin? Like, choose your side. That was the whole marketing. They have one cutscene where they fight each other or where they confront each other. And then the next time they see each other, they're buddies. Like, that's not what the entire story was about at all. It was about a past character going into rampancy. Like, you're just lying to people to get their butts into, I was going to say butts in the seats, but it's a video game, butts into couches. I don't know. But yeah, it's just like, if you don't feel strong enough about your, I mean, I guess it's too late at that point, but if you trying to divert expectations in that way, or just straight up lying to your audience, then maybe you should reflect on your story as a whole, but that's a whole different Halo 5 discussion.
That also reminds me of Star Trek Into Darkness, which was effectively a modern remake of The Wrath of Khan. And everyone was like, so before the movie came out, everyone says, oh, so Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan, right? He's definitely playing Khan, right? And J.J. Abrams flat out says no. He just straight up lied about it.
I don't know if I remember it being in a trailer or not of him saying my name is Khan. Maybe I just remember seeing the clip going around.
I know that was it wasn't marketed that way though. And if it wasn't a trailer, it was after the movie released and they did like a recut. Like, it's already released, so we're trying to bring more people in.
Maybe it's one of those Mandela effect things. It's like, oh, we said it in the trailer, but he didn't.
I just remember J.J. Abrams famously lied about it straight up. And then people are like, okay, well, he was Khan, so like, it would have been better if you just told us that up front.
Yeah.
We're going in thinking he wasn't, and it's not as big a twist as they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Didn't work that well.
As I was so rudely interrupted by my own internet provider, I was just saying, in terms of, like, the con thing, like, I get why he lied at the same time, because it's, like, that's a big reveal in the movie, but also, you just lied to everybody. So he's kind of like, it was a lose-lose situation. Because before that, he would have had to have been like, yeah, that's con. And that's, like, a huge reveal in the movie, but also, it's, like, it's so obviously him, why lie about it? So,
yeah. And after the movie came out, that's where more people landed. Like, well, you just made more problems than necessary with that one. It would have been better just lean into it immediately. So,
yeah. Or just don't show Benedict Cumberbatch in the trailer, which, you know, that's a huge draw for them. I don't know. We're clearly not marketers, but there's ways to not give, you know, huge plot points away.
We're not marketers, but we are guys who like movies and realize that marketing as it stands is not working for us or people in our lives. Yeah. Movie viewing is down really low. And even guys like us who watch a lot of movies have a tough time finding that they're a thing, and TV shows too, but movies to be a little more focused.
One of the biggest movies of last year across the Spider-Verse gave away the entire plot in their main trailer of all the spider people are hunting Miles. And there was more in that movie to go see it, and I'm glad it was more than that, but I was like, man, that's a huge point in the movie.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. So, is that all? Move on to our question of the week?
Yeah, I'm ready to move on. So I can smash my router.
So, will we see a resurgence in unique marketing tactics soon, or will things have to get really bad first?
I feel like it's both. Like they're going to try to do a resurgence, but it's not going to work, and then just marketing's going to be really, really bad. So, I feel like that just happens a lot with Hollywood. They don't fix anything until something really, really bad happens. Political or not, just something has to change to keep things fresh. Or something... Like one of the, I feel like a huge movie has to do... Or a huge franchise movie will do so poorly because the marketing was so poorly done that nobody went to see it. But it turns out to be a good movie. I don't know what example that will be. But, yeah.
I feel like
that's don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's a lot of movies. I mean, maybe not big franchise movies yet, but Marvel's numbers are definitely dwindling.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say they put out pure garbage the last few years. I quite like some of the movies, but they're definitely starting to slow down. And one day there will be a bomb for something that they really didn't want to be. They're like, you mean a Spider-Man movie made $980 million? Not even a billion?
Yeah. It's pretty good. Crazy. I think, yeah. Well, I think they're starting to do that now with Deadpool 3 being like the only main MCU movie coming out this year. I think. Yeah, because there's been so many delays with the writer's strike. But yeah, that's like the main thing that's coming out this year in terms of movies. But of course, they're going to release 15 TV shows.
Yeah. They need to slow their roll. Yeah, I think it'll... I agree with you. It's just going to get as bad as it possibly can. They're going to hemorrhage money left and right and stand up on their high horses and say, it's not our fault. It's your fault.
We did everything we could. You guys are sexist for hating Rey. Huh?
You guys are just sexist.
No, she's just not a great written character.
You're just sexist and homophobic and racist.
Homophobic. We wanted Poe and Finn to get together. We wanted them to get together.
I'm like, the movies with white guys aren't doing great either. What's your point?
What's your point?
Yeah.
Everything's like, doing okay, poorly.
So the movies with women, LGBT characters, and minorities are doing badly. So is everything else.
Yeah. Well, that was one thing too. It was what was the movie? It was a movie about like a romantic comedy, but it was about two dudes falling in love with each other. And it was very...
Is it Bros?
Like,
that's the last one I remember.
Bros, that's what it was. Yeah, but it did poorly because I think they failed to realize that romantic comedies are very tailored towards women, or they are usually, and
generally
they are. And I don't think they're very interested, or most women are very interested in seeing two dudes get together, like two gay guys get together. But they heavily blamed a lot of men, weirdly, for like, you guys are all homophobic. You guys don't go see this movie. It's like, you don't even know what genre you're playing to.
Yeah, it's true. It's not a genre a lot of men.
Yeah.
Gravitate towards in the first place. So don't go calling men homophobic when they probably weren't going to see it even if it was a straight movie.
Yeah. It's like most men aren't tailored to go see rom-coms. But yeah. And from what I heard, Bros is actually a pretty funny movie.
I mean, I remember seeing the trailer and being like...
Yeah. I won't really watch them alone.
Yeah. I usually have to be with somebody to pick it out. Yeah. Or have heard
really enough, good things. I've watched more rom-coms with family, like with my whole family, than I have with like just me and a significant other, which is very funny.
That's true for me as well, actually.
Yeah. Just a nice little family get together. But yeah, something needs to change. I don't know what. Maybe they'll finally invent holograms and start just playing the trailers around everywhere we go. That's what it'll be used for.
So we'll be doing
the ozone layer with all the
Minority Report thing.
Mm, yes.
Where everyone just has tailored advertising done, just that only they can see on holograms.
That would suck. That would really tell a lot about who you are as a person.
Yeah. I don't remember how it worked in that movie. I think they could. They're the only ones.
I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. It basically, what I'll say about it at least, is it predicted tailored advertising about 15 years before it became commonplace.
Mm-hmm. I know what it's about. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It was very
ahead of its time. It's the Tom Cruise one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very ahead of its time that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Hollywood's going to do very poorly if it doesn't figure its crap out soon.
I think they need to force more merchandise down people's throats.
More merchandise, more advertising, which is funny to say because I'm not even that big on advertising, but they're not doing enough.
And the point of making, like, I get it, they're fun to collect, but I'm not talking about Funko Pops. Like, do actual different types of merchandising.
Yeah.
Like, I know somebody at work who has, like, a workout shirt for, like, Spider-Man 2099 and Omni-Man, but that's, like, a certain brand of workout shirts that they, like, I don't even know if they bought the rights for it, but if that was mass-produced, like, shirts like that. Fucking everybody in the aughts had a Superman shirt.
True. Or like you were talking about Fortnite. That seems to be another place where things just conglomerate lately.
Yes. Well, that's true. That's like a new tie-in. I guess we didn't touch on that. There's that type of marketing. They'll do skins of movies coming out. Like Dune did that with Call of Duty. And I'm trying to remember what Fortnite did. They've done it with everything, basically, like Stranger Things or and the Invincible show that just happened. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It got our buddy Steve's little brother to watch Invincible, and he loved it.
Good.
He's only seen the first season, but yeah. Also, we've been forcing him to watch. we've been telling him to watch it for months.
I found it on Fortnite. Doesn't mean I want to see the whole thing.
No, it was funny because we all watched the first episode together online and then he binged it the next day.
I see.
Very funny. But yeah, just force shit down our throats. Like, we accepted it in the aughts. We'll accept it again. I mean,
I'm not saying I'll like it. I'll complain when we get it. But I'll at least know the movies are coming.
Exactly.
And I'll probably see many of them too. So, like, it'll solve your financial problem. I don't really even like it, morally speaking, but I'm trying to solve your problem.
Yeah, Poor Things. One of the biggest movies last year. Nobody knew it was coming out.
Yeah. I didn't.
Emma Stone's second Oscar. Nobody knew it was happening.
Most movies seem to just be sold by word of mouth nowadays. Like, even something like Dune, I don't think was really marketed that much. Dune just got huge because, like, even the popcorn bucket thing was...
That was
like, more around release.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody was... Like, Dune had a trailer, but everything about Dune was all word of mouth, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it, talked to other people who were maybe interested.
That's what needs to happen. There needs to be more ads of, like... The number one movie in America. Like, dude, like, do basic shit like that. I don't even see that anymore.
Oh, like, it's popular. I think I'll like it, too.
I'll go see it, too. I mean, they did that with, like, number one movie in America for, like, Green Lantern, but still.
Doesn't matter.
It worked.
Fear of missing out. Got to play people on fear it. Of missing out.
Yeah. FOMO is real, especially for the later generation, so I've heard. I'm hip. Yeah. I'm not a 26-year-old man.
Anyway. That'll do it for this week.
You can find this old fart at Ryan Walker Official on YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Thought Play Media. Also, check out the Close Up with Ryan and Joe Facebook page for latest updates on the show. If you listen to us on audio, check out our YouTube channel. And if you're on YouTube, find us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We hope to see you on the next Close Up with Ryan and Joe. Till next time.
Take care.